Okay, this is Paul Nixon, and today we are interviewing Malin Baker. Although Malin says he hates the word guru, he is a very well-respected figure in the world of corporate responsibility and reporting and how to do those things online. And so today we're going to talk about corporate responsibility online, telling your sustainability story and so on, and the things that work and the things that don't necessarily work. So, Mal, welcome. Would you like to, first of all, tell us a bit about yourself, your background and so on?
I've been involved with corporate responsibility for going up to, well, somewhere between 15 and 20 years anyway. And I was at Business in the Community for a long time, just as that organisation, which of course is the largest membership organisation of companies committed to social responsibility in the world, in fact. I was there for quite a while, whilst the organisation was first trying to get to grips with this umbrella term, corporate responsibility, and trying to work out what it meant for its members. And I led on that work for Business in the Community, and that kept leading to how companies communicate, and very quickly looked at how companies report. Whilst the Global Reporting Initiative was creating its first framework, we were doing something slightly parallel with 20 of our members. So how companies make a difference through reporting has just been something I feel like I've been doing for a very long time indeed.
Okay, so let's start off with, you know, what makes a good corporate responsibility section online, what helps people to get across their message effectively.
For me, the key distinguishing feature between a good report online and a mediocre one are a couple of things. First of all, is that the company is clear about who its audience or audiences are. And that's very, very important, because an awful lot of companies will start off and they will understand from peer pressure that they need to start reporting, and they will ask somebody, how is it done? And they will come up with the boilerplate response, well, this is how it's done, this is how the GRI does it, this is how dozen others do it, so therefore this is what we must do. And when you get that process and it's disconnected from who your audience is and what is it they actually want to know, then usually you get mediocre reporting. And the second part is the integrity of information and the authenticity of the voice that you're hearing. And that tends to come from the company's willingness to open themselves up, to show themselves as having a human face, and to admitting that sometimes they get things wrong. And people trust reports a great deal more when they can see that it is a honest account of the things that have gone well. You expect the companies to talk about those, but also the things that haven't gone well and what the company's doing about it. Generally, when you find something that is the boilerplate, looks the same as all the others, and out of all of the many, many pages it may have of content, has got no area where it will admit to being less than perfect, not worth the digital paper it's written on.
But how many people actually do that well, in terms of being that open and honest about things that haven't gone well?
It's a minority sport, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a growing number. Mm. I think there's a growing peer group within the corporate responsibility profession who understand that that is what's expected of them. And one of the knock-ons of the fact that the Global Reporting Initiative is out there and a lot of people are sold the line that says, if you do it, this is how it's done, is that as soon as you agree on certain indicators and that you're going to report on those year on year, then you're committed to reporting on them whether they move in the right way or in the wrong way. And if they move in the wrong way and you're obliged to report on them, then you feel the need to explain and to try and improve your performance. So almost by default, that's going to push a lot of companies into a relatively frank exchange. Which isn't to say that some won't change how the indicators are measured in order to try and make it look good, who won't sort of bury them various levels down. There's all sorts of tricks that people will use whilst still reporting to try and manipulate it. So that's where you exercise choice. That is the difference between those who are choosing to do this properly and those who are trying to get away with as much as they can.
And do any actually highlight it above the sort of that GRI framework, because generally when you see people providing information against that framework, it's very text heavy, very hard to absorb, and you've got to have a real passion for the information and literally want to crawl through it to find those elements where it might discuss that. Whereas I think a different type of the sort of audience which is excluding the CR analysts, where they're looking to find out how well-behaved or responsible the company is, won't be going through that GRI table. They'll be looking for the stories, they'll be looking for the case studies. And sure, you would expect to say, well, our industry has these challenges, but I certainly don't see anyone saying, we slipped up here,
I've seen it from time to time, but certainly I think what you've touched on there that is very important is how you can use the medium, because the beauty of the web is that it is a fluid medium and you are able to make certain choices about how you navigate through it. Whereas if you've got a printed report, it's got a page one, it's got an end page, and there's one route through it unless you're going to skim and try and pick that way. But ultimately, it's a linear process, whereas with the web, of course, there are multiple paths. And I think the smart companies are recognising that they have different audiences for this information. So many of them will provide a front page that pulls out what they believe are the key messages, the key stories that they have to tell for that year, and will provide some sort of engaging content, some sort of video content, some sort of... maybe an interactive tool that will actually get people really engaging with whatever the dilemma is that they've been facing. Another level down, or another two levels down, all the GRI stuff is there. And if you're an analyst and you really just want to go heading off to the GRI framework, there's a little thing on the main navigation, you click on that, and that will take you straight to all the touch points that you necessarily want. But they know that a lot of their key audiences are going to start with that front page and look to see the bright, sparkly things that are going to catch their attention and engage them. And for me, that's probably the smart level, because if you care about your audiences, you use a medium and an approach that they will relate to as your starting point. You don't expect your customers, if you're a consumer-facing company, to read your report, because that's just not how consumers get their information. There is a fine line then between having the robust stuff for the analysts where you admit all your failings, and then doing a real fluffy PR job for your customers, billboards around the country saying Posh and Beck's say Gucci hates sweatshops or something like that. So you've got to have this middle ground, because actually consumers see through the fluff very quickly. And all of the polls show that they've been becoming more and more cynical about the claims that companies make in the environmental and ethical space. And you've got to create this, what people describe as this authentic voice, which means that the tone of voice is correct and you're showing some of the rough edges as well as, the real stars of your story. And people will look at that and they'll see some integrity to it. And that is what really then carries weight.